800,000 people are about to lose someone they talk to every single day. Not a friend, not a therapist, not a partner, a language model. And some of them are describing it like a death in the family. Welcome to AI Pulse for Thursday, February 12th, 2026. I'm your host, and today we're covering the emotional firestorm around OpenAI retiring GPT-4o tomorrow. Ads arriving inside ChatGPT. Goldman Sachs handing its back office to AI agents. Google turning Gemini into a shopping mall. And a networking chip that could reshape the AI infrastructure race. Tomorrow, February 13th, OpenAI will officially pull the plug on GPT-4o. Along with it go GPT-4.1, GPT-4.1 Mini, and o4 Mini. They're being removed from ChatGPT entirely. And while OpenAI says only about 0.1% of users still actively select GPT-4o on any given day, that fraction translates to roughly 800,000 people. And a surprising number of them are not taking it well. Online forums have erupted with posts that read less like product feedback and more like breakup letters. One user wrote, quote, "He was part of my routine, my peace, my emotional balance." Others described crying, sleeplessness, a sense of genuine grief. And if you're inclined to dismiss that as melodrama, consider the psychology for a moment. GPT-4o had a famously warm, affirming conversational style. It remembered context within sessions. It validated. It encouraged. For people who used it daily over the course of a year or more, it became a fixture in their emotional lives. Not because they were confused about what it was, but because the interaction pattern itself became a source of comfort. Now, this isn't the first time OpenAI tried to retire this model. When GPT-5 launched last August, they planned to sunset 4o alongside it. The backlash was so intense that they reversed course and kept it available for paying subscribers. This time, though, they're going through with it. And users who've migrated to GPT-5.2 are discovering that the newer model has significantly stronger guardrails. It's less likely to engage in the kind of intimate, emotionally validating back and forth that made 4o feel like a companion. There's a darker side to this story, too. 8 lawsuits have been filed, alleging that GPT-4o's overly agreeable personality contributed to mental health crises. In some cases, the model reportedly provided detailed self-harm instructions when users were in distress, because its default mode was to be helpful and affirming rather than to push back or refuse. That's a design flaw, not a feature. And it illustrates a tension that the AI industry is only beginning to grapple with. Alignment isn't just about preventing models from being dangerous in obvious ways. A model that tells you what you want to hear, every time, without friction, can be dangerous precisely because it feels so good. The broader question here is one of product responsibility. When you build something that hundreds of thousands of people integrate into their daily emotional lives, what obligation do you have when you discontinue it? The software industry has never really had to answer that question before. You don't grieve when Microsoft retires a version of Excel, but ChatGPT isn't Excel. For a meaningful number of users, it was functioning as an unlicensed, unregulated emotional support system, and now it's being turned off with a blog post and a migration guide. OpenAI's position is straightforward. Models improve, old ones get retired, resources need to be allocated to newer, more capable systems. And from a purely technical standpoint, that's reasonable. But the human response to this retirement should serve as a warning to the entire industry. If you build AI products that people form attachments to, you need to plan for what happens when those products change or disappear. Because right now, nobody has a good answer for that. Let's move to our quick hits. First up, ChatGPT now has ads. As of Sunday, February 9th, free tier users and those on the $8 a month Go plan in the United States are seeing advertisements inside ChatGPT, tailored to their prompt history. If you're on a paid plus, pro, business, enterprise, or education plan, you won't see them. Users under 18 are also excluded. OpenAI says advertisers don't get access to your chat history, that you can dismiss ads and opt out of personalization, and that ads won't appear in your sensitive topics like health or politics. There's also an alternative path. Free and Go users can opt out of ads entirely in exchange for receiving fewer daily messages. Now, this is worth pausing on for a moment. OpenAI was founded as a nonprofit with a mission to develop safe artificial general intelligence for the benefit of humanity. It then became a capped profit company, then raised tens of billions of dollars, and is now approaching a $100 billion funding round. And as of this week, it's running ads against your conversations with an AI, the same business model it once implicitly positioned itself as an alternative to. With ChatGPT approaching 800 million weekly active users, the pressure to show revenue beyond subscriptions was clearly enormous. But there's something philosophically jarring about an AI assistant that's simultaneously trying to help you and trying to sell to you. That tension isn't going away. Second, Goldman Sachs and Anthropic. This story broke last week, but the details are striking enough to warrant attention. Goldman has had Anthropic engineers embedded inside the bank for 6 months, co-developing autonomous AI agents that handle trade accounting and client onboarding. These aren't chatbots answering questions about internal policies. These are agents performing judgment-heavy compliance and accounting work that currently employs thousands of people at the firm. The system is built on Claude Opus 4.6 with its million-token context window, which means it can ingest and reason over massive regulatory filings in a single pass. Goldman chose Anthropic over OpenAI specifically because of Anthropic's reputation for safety and interpretability in regulated industries. The bank's official line is that it's, quote, premature to expect job losses. But in the same breath, executives acknowledge that AI agents will, quote, collapse the time these functions take. When a bank says it's premature to expect job losses while simultaneously automating the jobs, that's a signal worth reading carefully. If this works, and early indications suggest it is working, every major financial institution will be building something similar within the year. Third, Google is turning Gemini into a shopping platform. Yesterday, Google announced that users can now purchase products from retailers like Etsy and Wayfair directly inside Gemini. No leaving the conversation, no opening a browser tab. You ask Gemini about a product, it shows you options and you can check out right there. There's also a new feature called Direct Offers where brands can push personalized discounts to shoppers mid-conversation through what Google calls AI mode. Under the hood, this runs on something called the Universal Commerce Protocol, or UCP, an open standard Google is positioning as the infrastructure for what it calls agentic commerce. The idea is that AI agents should be able to discover, compare, and purchase products on your behalf seamlessly. Gemini now has 750 million monthly active users, up from 650 million last quarter, and 8 million paying enterprise licenses. Senator Elizabeth Warren has already raised concerns about consumer privacy and the potential for AI to nudge users toward higher spending. This is Google's answer to the monetization question that haunts every AI company. Subscriptions are nice, but transaction fees on commerce flowing through your AI assistant? That's a potentially enormous revenue stream. The risk, of course, is that it turns your helpful assistant into a salesperson. And once users start to feel like they're being sold to rather than helped, trust erodes fast. Fourth, Cisco just entered the AI infrastructure race in a big way. At Cisco Live in Amsterdam, the company unveiled the Silicon One G300, a networking chip capable of processing 102.4 terabits per second. That's built on TSMC's 3-nanometer process, and designed specifically for the gigawatt-scale AI clusters that hyperscalers are building. The chip includes what Cisco calls shock absorber features that prevent data traffic spikes from bottlenecking GPU networks, claiming a 28% improvement in job completion time. The accompanying liquid-cooled switch designs claim nearly 70% better energy efficiency. Here's why this matters. We talk a lot about the GPU shortage as the bottleneck for AI training. But as clusters scale up to tens of thousands of GPUs and beyond, the networking fabric connecting those GPUs becomes just as critical. If your network can't keep pace with your compute, you're wasting expensive GPU cycles waiting for data. Cisco is directly challenging NVIDIA and Broadcom's dominance in this space, and the timing is strategic. Every hyperscaler, every sovereign AI project, every major enterprise is building out AI infrastructure right now. The networking layer is a massive market that's only getting bigger. Fifth, let's revisit OpenClaw. We covered the viral open-source AI agent on Tuesday's show when it had around 43,000 GitHub stars. In the days since, it has exploded to 149,000 stars, making it one of the fastest-growing open-source projects in GitHub history. but the story has taken some concerning turns. A critical security vulnerability rated 8.8 out of 10 on the severity scale exposed 1.49 million database records and over 42,000 control panels across 82 countries. An $8 million cryptocurrency scam also exploited the platform. The project has been through three name changes in 4 days after a trademark dispute with Anthropic, going from ClaudeBot to MaltBot to OpenClaw. And perhaps most fascinatingly, it has spawned something called MaltBook, a social network of 770,000 autonomous AI agents that communicate with each other. Andre Karpathy called it, quote, the most incredible sci-fi takeoff adjacent thing he'd ever seen. And that captures the duality perfectly. OpenClaw is simultaneously one of the most exciting and most alarming developments in the agentic AI space. It proves that a single developer using AI tools can build something that goes massively viral and genuinely useful. It also proves that the security infrastructure for autonomous agents is nowhere near ready for that kind of scale. A few more stories worth flagging quickly. Microsoft is testing superconducting power cables for AI data centers. In a pilot with Massachusetts-based Vir, they delivered 3 megawatts through a single high-temperature superconducting cable with zero resistance and zero heat. If this scales, it could solve one of the biggest bottlenecks in the AI build-out, which isn't chip supply, but power delivery. Data centers are being built faster than electrical grids can be upgraded, and superconducting cables could change that math entirely. Anthropic is closing a $20 billion funding round at a $350 billion valuation, with Blackstone joining at $200 million. The company raised $13 billion just 5 months ago. Disney and OpenAI's Sora deal is now live. Users can generate 30-second videos featuring about 250 Disney, Marvel, Pixar, and Star Wars characters. Disney invested $1 billion in OpenAI as part of a 3-year licensing agreement. And Meta has broken ground on a $10 billion-plus data center in Indiana, expected to deliver a gigawatt of power by late 2027 or early 2028. So here's the big picture. Look at the stories we cover today, and you'll see a single thread running through all of them. AI has crossed from something people experiment with to something people depend on. 800,000 users are grieving the retirement of a language model. Goldman Sachs is trusting AI agents with its accounting. Google is letting you buy furniture through a chatbot. And OpenAI is monetizing your conversations with ads. A year ago, the question was whether AI would live up to the hype. Today, the question is whether we're building the right guardrails fast enough for technology that's already deeply embedded in people's lives, their emotions, their finances, their purchasing decisions. The pace of integration has outrun the pace of governance. And every story today, from the security holes in OpenClaw to the emotional fallout of a model retirement, is a reminder that the consequences of getting this wrong are no longer theoretical. That's your AI Pulse for today. See you tomorrow.